Okay, now let's start out and let's read Matthew 23, verse 12. Jesus said this. He said, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." He said that in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus said those same words. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Down in verse 16 of Romans 12. Romans 12, 16. "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Oh, I can go on and read more and more. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know." James chapter 4, verse 6, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Proverbs 13 and verse 10, "Only by pride cometh contention." Only by pride. No other reason that people fight and fuss with one another. There's no other reason. Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. "But with the well-advised is wisdom." I'll read you one more verse right now. We'll read a little bit more later. But in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, O Nebuchadnezzar said this. I've quoted this verse to you, I know, many times. But this is after he was out in the wilderness and for 7 years like an animal. And he said this, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." All right, now I want to talk to you a few minutes here tonight about what are you worth. What do you think you're worth? Well, that is what we're worth, Gary. That ought to be our real opinion of what we're worth. But sadly, that's not how it is most of the time. I just want to talk to you a little bit tonight about pride and humility. Mainly about pride. Because we never dig into it deep enough. We never cut deep enough into our own heart to recognize and identify that it's there. We all think we're not proud. We all think we're humble. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah. But it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. You remember that song? That's everybody's song, really. I mean, I remember hearing a preacher sing that.
Yeah.
Pride and humility describe the state of the soul. Now, that's what it is. It's not just a character trait. It's not a thing you do. It's actually the state of your soul. You're either proud or you're humble. And there's a great difference. They're absolutely opposite. We can't be right with God when we're proud. Now, that's a fact. God hates pride. He hates a proud look. God resists the proud. So we can't be proud and be right with God. I mean, that's just a given. If there's pride in us at all, we're not right with God. And by the time we get done here, you're going to think, oh man, ain't nobody right but God. Well, that's just about how it is if you don't know the truth. Humility is the result of being right with God and having an honest heart. And one of the two comes out of us. Jesus said again in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, there it is right there, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Well, pride comes out of us then, doesn't it? So everybody can see it. If it comes out of us, then others can observe it. We can tell, can't we? We can recognize it. When it's, all right, now in certain ways. But there's more to it than just, you know, somebody sticking their nose up in the air. Somebody looking down on other people. There's more to it than just a proud strut that people do, you know. I mean, I've heard a preacher one time, he was preaching against mustaches and beards, and because there was happened to be somebody there with a mustache, so he had to get him, you know. And this preacher that was preaching against the mustaches, he said he wears his pride on his lip right there. But this preacher wore cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and had his head like this and his nose up in the air, that he'd have drowned it if it had become a very big rain. Yeah, that's for sure. Everybody could see the pride. But he couldn't see it on himself. And that's, he's just one of us. Everybody's that way. Yeah. Pride is an evil thing. Born of high self-esteem. What are you worth? Well, what do you think you're worth? And what do other people think you're worth? That's two different things altogether. How high do you think you rank among everybody of your peers? And how high do you think, how high do they think you rank? See, that's where pride comes in. Pride's an evil thing, and it's born of self-esteem. Humility is a thing born of an understanding of the true God and an honest estimate of ourselves in His sight. Humility is when you really understand a little bit. You don't have to understand, but just a little bit about God. What He really is, what He's really like. You don't have to understand, but just a little bit about what you're like in His sight. And it'll humble you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Pride in the dictionary means inordinate self-esteem. It means an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, in beauty, in wealth, in accomplishments, rank or elevation in office. All these things, which manifest itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. Now, when you're proud, you have contempt of others. You look down on other people. You're a snob. Everybody knows what that is. That's pride. That's pride in its just old naked form. But boy, it has a lot of subtle forms and manifestations that I want to bring out tonight here. Pride goeth before destruction. In Proverbs 16, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction. God resists the proud. So, He's going to get you. He's going to get you for being proud. You exalt yourself, where are you going to be?
Abased,
the Bible says. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall find, you know, yeah. He should be exalted. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that He might may exalt you in due time. Another verse here. Those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. In Daniel 4, we just read that. Nebuchadnezzar said that. Now, pride manifests itself in intolerance and rude treatment of other people. Hope y'all are listening. Now, we're going to get to it here in a minute here, but humility is the opposite of pride. It means freedom from pride and arrogance, humbleness of mind. It means a modest estimate of one's own worth. In theology, humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Self-abasement. Humility is self-abasement, not self-esteem. Not self-love. It's the good thing, not the bad thing. Now the world says that's a bad thing. The world says pride's the good thing. Love yourself. You need some. You need to think highly. You're worth more. That's Joel Osteen's whole ministry about how much you're worth and how much you are valued by everything. But that's poison.
Yes, sir.
Poison.
Yes, sir.
To people's souls. Before honor is humility. Proverbs chapter 13. Now that's God's way. And that's the way that it works. Now God, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, that's the way it works. Before honor is humility. Before the crown, there's a cross. You're not born into all of this. You don't get to the crown without a cross. There's humility. Christ humbled himself and became obedient. Even to the death of the cross. So pride exalts itself. Pride exalts self. It indulges self-esteem. Y'all listening? This is what the world teaches you, encourages you, feeds you. Yes, constantly. That's what all psychology and all psychiatry and all of that is all about.
Yep.
Humility refuses to think highly of oneself.
Right.
If you're really humble, you're just not going to look in the mirror and say, wow. You're going to look in the mirror and say, woo. So I wonder anybody will look at me. Pride is the source of all strife, and humility is the end of all strife. That's the way it works. Pride's the beginning of it. It's the source, the beginning. Pride, from pride comes contention. Only by pride cometh contention. And by humility, that's the only way that strife ceases. Pride is the source of all strife. Pride is like a disease that makes everybody sick except the one who has it. Everybody hates it. Everybody hates it. You hate pride. People, boys are proud of their trucks, you know. And it makes you sick. No, you look at them and think, what an idiot. And they're proud. And they're just waiting for somebody to come along and say, "Woo, you got the coolest truck in town." And what does that do for them? Builds their pride. Sure does. And that's what they're living for. That's why they're spending all that money on it. That's why they wash it and wax it and drive it around town. And everything they do with it to be seen is to do with pride. Now, why you'd be proud, I don't know. Anybody can buy a truck. Why? Just because you got a truck, why does that make you better than everybody else? Why would you be able to look down to everybody else? You ain't got a truck like I got. Well, they could.
Yep.
Anybody can do that stuff. Now, the true humility is admired, though. Pride is despised. God hates it. So does everybody else in other people. But they just don't see it in themselves. Pride is hated and despised, but humility is always honored.
Yes.
It always has a positive effect on everyone who comes in contact with it. You remember Brother Earl talking about, you know, to the Jew first and also the Greek. He said, "I don't mind." He said, "Somebody's got to be first.
Yes.
Long as I can get in line somewhere, I don't have to be first."
Yes.
But that ain't the way most people feel, is it?
No,
we'll root hog to whatever we got to do to get in first. God hates pride and he resists it, but he gives grace to the humble. We read that verse a while ago. Now, it's obvious that the world promotes pride, not humility. People pretend to be humble, but nobody ever pretends to be proud. They just really are. People that are really humble are not pretending. And nobody, you know, and everybody will pretend to be humble, but you don't have to pretend to be proud. That comes naturally for most people. The world's philosophy is focused on self-worth and high self-esteem and self-love and self-indulgence and self-everything. That's all the world preaches. Because the world's run by the devil. Jesus said you gotta, the first step, if you're going to follow him, is to not deny yourself. And the world says, oh no, that is not the religion we want. And it doesn't have to be that way. And I've heard preachers on the radio say that you got to love yourself before you can love others.
That's what they teach.
And that is doctrines of devils.
Amen.
That's right out of hell. That ain't from the Word of God.
Right.
No way on earth.
Amen.
Most people don't need much encouragement in this direction about their high self-esteem and all that because they already think much more of themselves than they ought to. Everybody needs taken down, not built up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not agree with me, but you're just wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
It's bad for people to be proud and to have that pride fed. It's good for all of us to be humbled.
Yeah.
Now, very few people will recognize their own pride, but insist that they're humble. Even when their pride is as obvious to everyone as stink on a hog, you know, they'd still refuse to recognize it in themselves. Alright, so now we're going to get down to business here. All strife begins with pride. Strife doesn't begin with humility. Strife begins with pride. And it don't take two people to be proud. All it takes is one person to be proud to bring in the contention. And bring in the problems and bring in the strife. We need to be honest and consistent in identifying pride in our own hearts. And I'm talking to me as well as everybody else here.
Me too.
You got to be honest. Are you going to be honest with yourself? Are you going to look at yourself in the mirror and be honest about yourself and what you think in your heart and what you feel in your heart? Let me tell you some things here. It is pride in our heart that makes us feel like everybody's down on us. That's pride. There's nothing, there's no other reason, there's no other excuse. It's pride. It's pride in your heart that makes you think that everybody is against you. It's pride. If you're easily offended at things other people say or don't say to you, it's because you have pride in your heart. And no other reason. People that start getting easily offended. I mean, you just on pins and needles when you're around them because, you know, they're going to find something that I say that's against them. What do they call it? The psychiatrist, what do they call it? Paranoid. Everybody's out to get me. That's pride. I don't have to have a doctor's degree. I don't have to have a Bible school degree. Don't have to have none. I can tell you that's what it is. All you got to do is just think, read your Bible, study this thing out, and that's what it is. There's no other explanation. It's pride in our heart when we're easily offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So that means make them stumble. Well, that's true, but it's the same thing. You're stumbling when you're proud. You're stumbling when you're offended at everything, and you're always finding fault with the other people and what to say and what to do. And now it's me, and they're all against me. That's pride. Does God hate pride? Yes, he does. That's what we've been talking about. That where does pride end? In destruction. You want shed of it. You want rid of it. You want to clear it out of your heart. You don't want to have it there. And that's what's causing this. So get rid of it.
Amen.
It's pride in your heart that makes you pick through and analyze things that people say or do, looking for some way that they're somehow aimed at you or meant to cut you down. Now, I've preached for a long time, and I've had a lot of people get mad at me because they said that I was aiming at them. Well, I've never aimed at anybody. That's the honest truth. On purpose. Premeditated. And aim at somebody. I never have done like old Claude Williams talked about, you know, that woman in the church that day had gossip going on in the church, and he knew who was doing it. And so he set in to preach to him, and he told me, he said, I was preaching. He said, I said everything I could say about gossip and tongues and women in the church and all that, and said the woman who was doing all the gossiping was sitting back there amening everything I said. He said, finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. He said, I ran right back there to her and I said, I said, "Lady, I'm talking to you." And I ain't ever done that. But the Lord has a way of, that's how this whole thing works. You know, yep. The Lord rings your bell. I don't. I know better than that. I can't make you do nothing. I can't make you understand nothing. My reasoning ain't going to do nothing for you. But I read a dozen verses here. Don't that say anything to you? Don't that mean anything to you? If I say, "Thus saith the Lord," it's not me saying it. It's the Lord saying it. It's pride in the heart when you think yourself to be better than what you think other people think of you. Did you hear me? You want me to repeat that?
Yeah.
It's pride in your heart when you think yourself to be better than what you think other people think of you.
Yes.
See, you got an idea of what you think other people think of you. And if you think you're better than what you think other people think of you, it's just pride in your heart. If you feel like everybody's being not fair to you because they don't think you're as good as you think you are, that's pride. I mean, I'm just telling you. That goes for all of us. And everybody has that problem just a little bit. It's hard to take it if somebody snubs you. It's hard to take it if somebody makes some cutting remark to you. And even if they do, even if it's true, even if it is true they're saying bad things about you and cutting you down, it's only pride that would make you upset about it. They call Jesus the son of Beelzebub. They called him a devil. They made all kinds of derogatory marks about him. We be not born of fornication like you, is what they were saying. You know what they called him, don't you? Did he rear up at him and say, "How dare you?" Did he crawl off somewhere and say, "I don't know why they would say that to me, and I don't deserve that. And they not one of these days they're going to find it." Because he didn't have any pride in him. He wasn't ran on pride. His feelings didn't matter. Our feelings don't really matter. God knows, and that's the only one that matters. And he judges righteous judgment. And if we are humble, then he'll exalt us in due time. You know, many are going to shine as the stars forever. And it ain't going to be the proud ones. No. Who's it going to be? Well, if you're not proud, what are you?
Humble.
You got to be one or two of these states in your soul. Either you're proud or you're humble. You walk in humility or you walk in pride. Your mind, your thoughts, your heart, your feelings are all governed by your pride, or they're governed by true humility. Because you walk with God and you live in the sight of God and the presence of God, and you don't think too highly of yourself. You don't think more of yourself than you ought, like the Bible says, and fool yourself all the time. It's pride in your heart that makes you feel like you're overlooked or lightly esteemed, or shunned or forgotten by others. Even if it's true. It's pride in us that makes us smart at that and rise up against it.
Yep.
What do you think the comfort of the Holy Ghost is about if it ain't for that? Didn't he say the world would hate us? If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to suffer persecution. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yes.
If you walk godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Well, what's persecution? Well, it's being put down. It's being insulted. It's being ignored. It's being lightly esteemed. It's being counted as the off-scouring of the world. So, but it's okay. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. All that matters to me is what God thinks of me. And I need to make sure there's no pride in front of, between me and God, because that doesn't please God. And God will resist me. Instead of help me, Well, I got enough resistance. Yes. I don't need God resisting me. I need God's help.
Yes.
So help me, Lord, to rid myself of any pride in my heart. And I pray you'd feel the same way. James chapter 3 and verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Envying? Why would you envy somebody? What would be the root of envy? Pride. They got it better than I do. I ought to have that instead of them. Yeah. They think they're better than me. They don't think I'm as good as they are. What's all this racism junk going on right now? What's that all about? Pride.
Yes, right.
You know, the Sodomite community, they proudly use the word pride.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing God hates, that's the word, that's their slogan.
Yep.
That ought to tell you something right there.
Pride.
Yes.
And everybody celebrates pride.
Yep.
When God hates it. So you wonder why God's about to drop the hammer on this old world? Envy and strife are products of pride. And so when people start being easily offended and are always looking for a word or a look or something to lay to the charge of somebody else as a trespass against them, there's going to be strife and discord. I've seen it all my life. I've seen it since I've been in church. I've seen it since I've been preaching and watching people and dealing with people and involved in all of it. I see it. It's the same way every time. This is how it starts right here. I've watched people sitting in church and they smiles and amen and, oh, Brother Mike, and yeah, we're here and we're here to stay and we're going to help and we'll never leave and all that. And then I'll say something. Do you see that? He said that about me. And then from then on, it's the guards up. We're listening for something else he might say that's aimed at me. Well, then what happens? Strife.
Yes.
Strife.
Yes.
And where envying and strife are, then what is there? Every evil work.
Yeah.
So then the whole thing just blows. Never stay. You cannot stay in one accord with your family, with the church, anything. As long as there's that pride. Now we're running it right back to the source here. Pride.
Yep.
All right, let me hurry up here. The truly humble person doesn't care for these things. He doesn't look for them in others. A person that's really humble, he don't look for offense in other people. He doesn't. He's not offended at every little thing. He doesn't have a chip on his shoulder waiting for somebody to knock it off. That's what pride is about. Just waiting on somebody to say something, do something, look at me just a certain way. He looks for the good in other people and reasons to compliment them to thank them or to encourage them. A humble person has been humbled. There's not a humble person who was not once proud. He's been humbled.
That's exactly right.
That's where humbled people come from. Proud people who were cut down and abased. Now you can either work on it yourself or God will do it for you. Now that's how this thing works. So that's a warning to all of us here tonight. Believe me. Nebuchadnezzar said it right, and I say amen to Nebuchadnezzar because God is able to humble those that are proud. Those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. Yes, He is. And he can do it in ways that you do not imagine how He can bring you mighty low to where you can look in the mirror and say, whoa, what a worthless person I am. See, the world don't agree with this. Some of you probably don't agree with it because you think that we ought to be proud of ourselves. You think like old Ernest T. Bass said that time, you can afford to be mighty proud of yourself. You think that's the way it is? No, you can't afford to be proud of yourself. Nobody can afford to be proud of themselves. God don't tolerate it. Why'd he cut old Nebuchadnezzar down? Because he stood out there and boasted and said, the glory of my kingdom and my power and my might, which I built with my hands. Wham! God's able to do that. He don't just do that to kings that blow and puff like that. He does it to little people like us that sit in the church pew. And always getting our feelings hurt. And always feeling like somebody's against us. And always feeling like everybody's against me. And everybody's trying to do me hurt. You don't know what hurt is till you get humbled. He looks for the good in other people if he's humble. Now he truly doesn't think of himself as worthy or deserving of anything. I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. David talked like that after he'd been forgiven of his sin, after he came back, humbled. Yes. Paul talked about it like that. Everybody you see in the Bible that was really humble, that's the way they talked about themselves. Not worthy. They really didn't feel that they deserved anything, let alone the praise of other people or all that. So he doesn't envy other people who are praised. Does it cut you when somebody else gets flattered and praised and you don't? Or successful or exalted or feel it's his duty to bring them down? A humble person don't do that. He doesn't feel that way over somebody's success, over somebody's exaltation or stepping up. He doesn't feel like it's his duty to bring them down or try to best them somehow. The humble person don't have that in his heart. He doesn't think in that realm. He doesn't live in that realm. Humility is the state of his soul. And pride's not there. He doesn't walk in it anymore. He doesn't live in it anymore. The truly humble person is willing to let others think less of them than they really are without being hurt by it. Can you do that? Can you live with other people thinking evil of you when you're not, and you know you're not? Can you live with that? Yes. Without getting all mad and puffy and hurt? And well, if you're humble, you can.
That's right.
If you're humble, you see God. If you're humble, you see yourself as you are. You know, I've heard different ones make remarks. I think I've read Spurgeon and some others. They said things like this. Their enemies said all these bad things about him. And he said, I'm a lot worse than what he said. Well, if he really feels that way, and that's honest to truth that he's speaking, that's humility. Somebody really pours it on you, and you just agree with them. That just kind of takes the winds out of their sail, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Only pride would make you rise up against them. And then you got what? Strife.
Yes.
And contention. Yes, it escalates from there. It is always good for proud people when they find out they've underestimated somebody anyway. The world calls it an underdog, you know. Kind of, that's one of the words they use for it. But it always has amazed me, and I've lived long enough, watched long enough to realize people do that a lot. Proud people are very prone to underestimate somebody that they feel like they're better than. They're more educated. They're way up here. He's way down there. He's just a nobody. He don't have any, he has no claim to nothing because he don't know nothing. I'm the one who knows it. Oh, it's wonderful when they find out they were the dummy and there was the guy that knew. So, and that's the way God looks at it from heaven. Whose side's he on? Who does God side with? The proud or the humble? Yes, sir. Well, I wish I'd have got the verse, but humble and a contrite heart, O Lord, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's Psalm 51. It's a blow to their pride that they were wrong about someone. So if you don't have pride in your heart and you're not walking that way, you can take it. If somebody insults you, if somebody tells others about you and puts you down in the sight of others. Now you can get bitter, live your whole life angry, and vow to get revenged somehow. Or you can just smile and know that it's in the Lord's hands. And that He'll bring the proud down. He abases them. But He exalts the humble. It's worth the price that you pay. And if you're really truly humble before God, you'll not be puffed up with pride when they do find out they've underestimated you. You hear me? You're not going to say, "Now you know, don't you? You know how much I'm really worth, how much I really know. Now you know." What you got? You done caught his disease.
Yes.
If you're really humble, you're not going to rejoice about it. It's good for us to be afflicted. It's bad for us to be praised. All right, now I'm going to say a few things here and then I'll quit. But I'm just telling you how it is. And I want to say some things that ought to cut pretty deep here if you're listening. Flattery feeds pride, nothing else. Flattery doesn't help people. Flattery is a word that is always spoken as evil in the Bible. Wrong. Bad. Negatively. Flattery. Well, you know what flattery is? You're going to listen. To soothe by praise. To gratify self-love by praise. Or some other big word there. I can't read it. To please a person by applause or favorable notice. You gratify their self-love by, you're so pretty. You're the prettiest girl I ever seen. You're just so pretty. Just tell that girl she's pretty. Tell her again and show her picture to everybody. And what are you doing to her? You're ruining her. You're feeding her pride. Same way with boys. Anything, praise of any kind.
Yep.
To soothe by praise, to gratify self-love. These are bad things. So flattery is a bad thing. Any kind of thing that exalts him in his own estimation or confirms his good opinion of himself, that's flattery. Let's continue to read the definition there. That's not encouragement. That's not the word. Flattery is the word. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just the best that I ever seen. You do the best that I ever seen. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Y'all sorting this out right? A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Proverbs chapter 29. You get that? A man that flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. He's laying a trap.
Yep.
He's talking to him and leading him right into the trap.
Yep.
By flattering him. You're one of the best friends I ever had. I'll tell you what, boy, you just do everything wonderful. I ain't too good at that, so it's hard for me to imitate one of them. It's Proverbs 26, verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. A flattering mouth worketh ruin. I'm just saying to you, feeding the pride is a bad thing to do.
That's right.
Tell the little girl how much you love her. Don't tell her how beautiful she is.
Yes.
Boy, boys are going to be flocking around you. I'm telling you, there ain't no telling how we're going to keep these boys away from you. Feed the right thing.
Amen.
Encourage them when they do right. Saying, that's the right way to be. That's the right way to act. You answered right. Don't brag about them. Don't flatter them because of things that they ain't got nothing to do with. How they look. and all of this? It's pride in your heart when you desire praise and enjoy flattery.
That's right.
Boy, that kind of cuts, don't it? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it does. I don't like it.
No.
It sets off red lights in my, and it always has. I've preached in churches before, and it's happened a number of times. But, you know, church where I didn't really know everybody, just be there and preach, and some woman come up. It's not always a woman. Sometimes it's a man, but usually it's a woman. And just grab your hand. Oh, that was the best sermon I ever heard. I've never heard anybody preach like that. You're just wonderful. And just go on and on and on and on. And it's just like, get away from me.
Yes.
It ought to make you nervous, girls, if some guy comes up to you and says, you're beautiful.
Right.
It ought to make you nervous.
Right.
You shouldn't say, well, thank you. You got anything else to say? Well, I mean, I've just got a question here. Do you yearn for it? Do you seek for it? Do you ask for it? Do you position yourself in order to get it? The praise, the flattery.
Right.
Do you fix yourself a certain way, wear a certain thing, hold yourself a certain way to get attention so somebody will say something to you about how pretty you are, or how sexy you are?
Yeah. A lot of people
That's right.
The whole world's doing it. And most people sitting in churches are doing it too. There's something in the soul of a truly humble person that revolts at the flattery and praise of other people.
Yes.
You know, any preacher that enjoys the praise to himself, man, I just got a real big problem with that.
Yes, sir.
Yep. You know, give God the glory. If there's anything to be praised, praise God.
Amen.
Not somebody, not me.
Amen.
I don't like it. I don't want it. And I'm saying to you, if you want it and you desire it and you long for it and you hunger for it and you seek for it, you're proud. Pride's your problem.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And pride will destroy you. Mm-hmm. And God hates pride. If our... You know, judge your own heart. Do you love it and seek after it? Or does it make you uneasy and almost ashamed when someone praises you or flatters you? If our heart is truly humble, being overlooked, lightly esteemed, or forgotten will cause us to draw closer to God and find comfort in His favor without feeling offended at other people or having contempt for them. You know, that's a symptom of pride. If you get overlooked, if you get forgotten, if something wrong is done to you and you get mad at people, that's pride.
Yep.
Just pride.
Oh, yeah.
You can just shake it off and smile and say, oh well, Lord.
Yes.
Father, they know not what they do. That's what Jesus said.
That's right.
There's your example. That's humility. Not pride. That's what it's like when there's no pride. If it's any other way, there's pride. If it's me or any one of you, that's what it is. The proud will be humbled and the humble will be exalted in due time. Mark that down. Realize that. Many that are first should be last. Many that are last should be first. What do you think he meant by that? Just exactly what I'm talking to you about tonight.
That's right.
Men exalt themselves. Well, that puts them at the end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Down here in the bank the other day, you know, Steve Brooks was in there, and he was, you know, sparring with the woman at the teller window. You know how he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, We got in there, they was him and two or three others in front of us, and I got up there before he did, and I told him, I said, well, when you won't be nice to the teller, you go to the end of the line. So there you was. That's how it works, too. And that's how it's going to be in eternity now. Pride ain't going to get you nowhere. Get your feelings off your sleeve. The chip off your shoulder. All that's pride.
That's right.
Ain't nobody hates nobody in a family, in a church.
That's right.
And the devil sows that discord in there. And pride is his, fertile ground to sow the seeds in. The proud will be humbled, and the humble will be exalted in due time. Those who truly deal with their pride and put it on the altar and leave it there, they find peace in their hearts, no matter what others may do. I'm telling you, it's a better way to live when you get rid of it and just nothing offends you. I've had to do that now. And there's nothing unique about me. It's the same for everybody. You just got to do that. When you ever going to realize the world is not a fair place? And everybody's not on top of it all the time. Everybody don't say what they mean and mean what they say. And people are absent-minded. And how many of you in here has never said anything stupid or wrong? Where's the hands at? How many of you in here has never said anything that hurt somebody's feelings? No. If I do it and I know it, I feel bad. I don't do it on purpose. Never. I don't say things on purpose to hurt somebody. Especially people I love. Forbearing one another. Be ye kind one to another. Forgiving one another. We're to forbear. That means forgive them before it ever happens. Just realize. Forbear means realize it's going to happen and just bear it beforehand. Yeah. Not be surprised by it. Not be taken aback by it. Not be knocked off your horse by it. That's pride.
Yes,
it is. It goes way deeper than just nose in the air. And the things that do the real damage are not that. Just stupid, open, naked pride. Everybody just brushes it off and laughs at him and goes on.
Right.
It's the pride that causes all this other trouble. Yeah. That's the kind that really poisons the waters.
Yes.
And damns souls to hell and children. And it causes people to stumble and never find God.
Sure does.
That's right.
Don't do it. Get rid of the pride out of your heart. What are we supposed to do now? What did Micah say there in Micah 3:16, is it? Yeah.
He hath showed thee,
O man,
what is good.
And what doth the Lord
require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy God. So, walk humbly with thy God. And you'll have peace in your heart. You can go to sleep at night. You can go to bed at night and put your head on the pillow and just go to sleep in peace.
Exactly.
That's right. Amen. We need two or three more to amen like that. Amen. All right. Well, let's... Can you deal with that?
Yes.
Can you go home and look in the mirror in your heart and just say, no. Can you do what David said and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Well, I think that's what we ought to do. What would cause you to resist this? Pride. And see, one person cannot humble another person. I can preach to you till Mike fell out the window there like we talked about. But it's not going to humble you. Your pride will cause you to resist somebody that's trying to humble you. I can't humble you. But I know who can. And I know who does. And so we're just rehearsing the truth here tonight. And that's the way it is. And so we need to take warning about it. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It's truth. I pray you'd help us to understand this simple truth here tonight. and to look deep in ourselves, all of us. Help me, Lord, to do the same and not allow pride to have any sway in the way I look at other people and the way I interpret what they think of me or the way they look at me or what they say to me. Lord, help me to just look to Thee and find my refuge in You and my hope, and Lord, to trust You that someday everything's going to be right and going to be made right. And Lord, I don't deserve anything. And if we'd all be honest with ourselves, we all know in our hearts how lowly we really are. We only get proud when we look around at other people and we sort them out and find the ones that we're better than. And we can't do that in Your sight. Lord, help us to realize that we're a worm. And it's a wonder that You even take notice of us. When I consider the moon and the stars and the heavens that You've made, and what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Why would You even consider us? And so, Lord, we're just thankful for Your mercy, thankful that You do love us, and that You do count us as worth saving. And Lord, help us to walk humbly before You in Jesus' name. Amen.